Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. I'm excited about this word. How many of you are excited about the word? How many of you love the word of God? How many of you are in the book every day, not just Sunday? Come on now. Matthew chapter 14, let's read verses 22 through 28. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. We just glance over that like that's an everyday occurrence. Jesus literally did not have a boat because he put them in the only boat that was docked. And so instead of walking around the sea, he just walked on the sea. Mind blowing. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I would be troubled too. Saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. They said, it's a ghost. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, step out. Step out. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, step out. Now, if you got a lot of faith, whether you got to move left, right, or just take one step, just one step. There you go. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. You may be seated. My goal in the next few moments is to get everybody in this building to take one step. One step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. A lot of us look at the greatness of something, and the greatness of something brings so much doubt or fear into our hearts, our minds, our spirit, that we don't even do what we can do, which is take a step. Simon Peter, at this point in his life, has taken millions of steps, but he acts as if he's never taken a step before. And the reason he acts this way, and I hope this is going to bless you. We're just going to jump right into this. The reason he acts this way is he's getting ready to step into something and onto something he has never stepped on or into before. It's a movement that he has made a million times. I'm going to encourage somebody to tell you that what God is going to call you to do might be a habit, might be something you've done a million times before. But the difference between the other million times and this next time is you are stepping into something you have never stepped into before. And so there's a lot of things that scare us. And one of our decisions when fear or doubt strikes our hearts is to step back, is to recoil, is to say, I can't do it or I won't do it. When I'm here to tell you, it's something you have already done before, just do it again. Well, Pastor, that's an uneasy surface. I don't know how all that's going to go. And I'm looking at all of the rain and the wind and the lightning and the thunder, and I don't know if I'm going to just do what you've always done before. If God gives you a word, then the word is what you're going to walk on when things get unstable underneath you. I wish I had somebody to preach to today, because that's good preaching. Sometimes when I wake up and I step into something that is unstable in my life, I'm not stepping on something that is not going to hold me up. It might not hold the rest of the world up, but what the rest of the world doesn't have is a word straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. The reason we came here today is the rendezvous with the Word of God, with the presence of God, like this team sang, the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God gets around me and I get in the Spirit of God and the Word of God starts flowing, whether it's through song or whether it's through some preacher, I get the Word of God. Why? Because I know that tomorrow God is going to call me out on some unstable surfaces. I know that God is not always going to call me to walk on water when the sun is shining and the water is as smooth as glass. That would have been a pretty good trick in itself. I think Peter would have still said the same thing, would have still felt the same way if it hadn't been storming. Because you're still on a boat in the middle of water, and everybody knows you swim in water, you sink in water, you drown in water. You don't walk on water. And the reason that they're scared in the boat is this. Because they see somebody, not that they don't know, they see somebody doing something that has never been done before. And so they can't come up with outlandish claims. Have you ever had somebody say something crazy about you? Have they ever called you something that you are not? I'm here to tell you, many times the detractors in your life will say something crazy to you or about you, because you are doing something that they have never seen done before. But I'm not going to let anybody hold me in the boat of my past. I'm not going to let anybody hold me in the boat of mediocrity. When God calls me to get out of the boat, whether it's a sunshiny day or it's a hurricane, if God said to get out of the boat, I'm getting out of the boat. The Navy branch of the military, called the Seabees, has a unique slogan that they used in World War II. If it is difficult, it will take a day or two. If it is impossible, it will take a little longer. The great philosopher Sean Carter, a.k.a. better known as Jay-Z, said, difficulty takes a day, impossibility takes a week. Now, if Jay-Z has that revelation, why don't we have that revelation? That what is possible, I can do it today. What is impossible, it might take longer than a day, but it's still possible when you put God in His Word and infuse it into every situation. Remember this, people of God, the God in you is greater than the impossibility before you. The God in you is greater than the impossibility before you. We don't know all the words that were spoken on that boat that day. We don't know what exactly was said between Jesus and Simon. We get the cliff notes. We get the highlights. We don't know all of the words that were spoken between Jesus and the other disciples, between the other disciples and Peter. John informs us in the 21st chapter of his gospel, if all of the words of Christ had been written down, the world could not contain the books that would be written. Meaning that when Jesus was awake, he was spitting knowledge every chance he got. He was always talking. So we don't know the discourse, the dialogue that had happened in its fullness there, but it is feasible that the other 11 disciples that were there with Peter, who he called friends, offered many pieces of advice to him before he stepped out or when he was about to step out on the water. You can almost hear them saying, no one has ever done that, Simon. Someone said, don't be a show-off, Peter. Somebody said, it's more sensible to stay in the boat. Another said, you're going to get sick. You're going to break a leg. You're going to drown. That was probably Simon's mom or mother-in-law. Sounds like a mom or mother-in-law thing. Remember when you were a kid and it was always the worst thing ever? That was going to happen. Don't jump on that trampoline. You're going to fall off and break your neck. My God, mom, get some faith. Not my mom. I'm talking about your mom. If you're going to attempt the impossible, there will always be detractors. Some of them have the same last name as you. Some of those you call friends. They'll give you their advice. They'll give you their counsel, whether they know what they're talking about or not. And you've heard me say this before, with the advent of social media has given a voice to idiots. They feel like just because they have a computer that they need to be heard. Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should say something. Just because we think something about a situation doesn't mean that we need to weigh in. I only offer my advice and my counsel when I am asked. Why? Because I cannot counsel somebody on what I would do or what I think they should do if they say they've heard from God. And if I was in the boat with Peter, I probably would have been one of the ones saying, hey, Peter, let's wait for a sunshiny day. Hey, Peter, let's wait till the waves aren't quite so high. Hey, Peter, let's make sure that that really is Jesus and not some imposter that's using smoke and mirrors to act as Jesus. I probably would have been right there with Thomas and James and John. But you have to understand, when you get a word from God, it changes everything. And so I cannot counsel and advise you if you have heard a word from God. And so the number one thing you've got to do when you're stepping out is you must get godly counsel. If you don't have a spiritual leader in your life, you need to become like David. You need to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to become like Paul. Paul thought himself happy. And at the end of the day, if you can't find somebody, an advisor or a counselor that is filled with the Spirit to advise you, you need to go straight to the Word. There's 66 books of God's breath-inspired Word that we are to live our life by. I'm not getting out of the boat until I get a word from God. And once I get a word from God, you're not going to be able to keep me in the boat. Get godly counsel. Albert Einstein had difficulty speaking until he was 4 years old. He did not read until he was 7. Beethoven's music teacher said that as a composer, he is hopeless. When Thomas Edison was a young boy, his teacher said he was stupid, that he could and would never learn anything. Walt Disney was once fired by a newspaper editor because he was thought to have, and I quote, no good ideas. Caruso was told by one music teacher, you cannot sing, you have no voice at all. These are but a few individuals who achieved recognition and success in their lives despite the negativity and the criticism of others. They refused to say, I can't. They refused to say, I won't. When they received a vision from God, or they found something in them that they knew they could do, it did not matter when people in the field that they were stepping into said that they couldn't. When they knew they can, they stepped out and did it anyway. And you can too. Going to the Word of God, Job, in his entire book, received advice. Bad counsel from his wife. She said, curse God and die. I don't think they went through premarital counseling, because that was not the one for him. His own friend said, not I hope you make it through. His own friend said, I think the reason you're going through this hell is because you've been living a life that is lower than what God has called you to have. You don't need those type of people. If those type of people are in your boat, I'd rather swim. I got to get away from the detractors. Number two thing you're going to have to do when you step out is, and I love this, it's something that I live by in my life. You can't try. You have to do. Too many people are trying. Don't try. Just do it. I don't let my kids say, I'm going to try. Try at my house is what I call a failure word. When you say, I'm going to try something, you are already setting yourself up for the failure, and you are already making an excuse as to why it will not happen like it's supposed to happen. That's why people that said yesterday, I'm going to try to go to church, they're still sawing logs this morning. That's why people that say, I'm going to try and get out of debt, but they make no room for advancement and action behind that statement. They're in as much debt or more than they've always been in. To attempt to do the possible in your own strength is a try. We sang about it today. It's not my might. It's not by power. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. That is why when I get a word from God, I get it in my ears, and then I let it get in my spirit, and then my spirit propels me even when I don't want to, and I am shocked if I fail. I am shocked if I don't succeed. Why? Because I never set out to try to walk on water. I set out to walk on water. I don't try to tithe and try to give. I give. I offer. I tithe. Why? Because God has not called us to try something to see if it feels good or to see if it works. God has called us to do the things of God. And when God calls us to do something, there is no question as if, what if it doesn't turn out right? Quit asking yourself, what if it doesn't? And start saying, what if it does turn out right? What if it's the greatest decision I ever made? What if it's the great? What if I step out of this boat and I'm written in the annals of time and everybody remembers the only two people to walk on water are Jesus and Peter? If you're taking notes, a burning desire is the starting point of all achievement. A burning desire is the starting point of all achievement. You have vision that God drops in your heart. In this case, there's a moment of fear, and God said, Peter, it's time that you come and walk to me on the water. And Peter had a burning desire to walk on the water. He said, God, if that's really you, I want you to tell me. And he said, come, walk to me, Peter. There's a burning desire in Peter that causes a responding or a correlating action. If you really get a word from God, when you really get vision from God, there should be something, like the prophet said, that is burning up inside of you. He said, it is like fire shut up in my bones. The day that I met Jesus Christ, the inside of me changed. I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I wake up not wanting to make $1 million. I wake up wanting to please God. I wake up wanting to advance the kingdom. Now, if God needs to give me $1 million to get that done, then I'm open for business, God. But anything you tell me to do, I don't ever want to be comfortable in the boat, and I'm not going to step out and try anything. If you tell me I can do it, God, then by God, I can do it. It all starts with one step. Step out today. Step out and start that business. Put yourself out there. Go and do what God has called you to do. Get out of renting. Own a home if that's what God wants for you, if that's the desire of your heart. If you're through being single, then I'm not telling you to hook up with the first Tom, Dick, or Harry that walks by, but what I'm telling you is do your part so that God can do his part. It all starts with one step. This is God's word and promise to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We look at that as a statement, but that is a promise. That when you hear, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There are two Greek words, and I don't know if I've ever preached on this. You maybe heard it somewhere, but there are two Greek words translated for word in the scripture. The two Greek words are logos and rhema. Jesus, the Bible said, was made flesh. So Jesus encompasses both the logos and the rhema word. Though at times these words are interchangeable, generally logos is described as the general word. It is the general knowledge of God, while rhema is much different. How many of you have ever heard one of the old saints say, I just received a rhema word? In the scripture passage from Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Greek word used here is not logos, it is rhema, meaning faith specifically comes by hearing the rhema of God. Here we go. Logos has been defined as the written or the said word of God. It is the 66 books that have been inspired by the Spirit of God. So that's the written and said word of God is logos. Rhema is the saying or the action word of God. Better said is this. Rhema, in a way, is faithing the word of God that you have received. Come on, somebody. That is God giving, I love this, a specific word to a specific person for a specific situation. Have you ever been reading the word of God? And you're reading the logos, and maybe the logos has not
has not hit you like you thought it would. Or you're receiving a Logos word and you're saying, God, I don't understand it. And it's like God's Spirit breaks it down for you and it hits you like a hammer between the eyes. And He says something to you audibly, or He says something to your spirit, and you say, God, you've stepped out of the Logos and you became Rhema, meaning that God, you gave me a specific word for the specific situation that I am facing. Check this out. Jesus is walking on the water. Jesus comes to the boat. I love this. In one translation, it says Jesus would have passed them by. Jesus is not even walking to them. He's walking past them. Because He's already said, we're going to go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. I got to pray. That's another sermon for another day. They see Jesus. They say, it's a ghost. Jesus says, it is I. Be not afraid. Who did He say that to? The 12. He said it to them. He said it Logos. But Peter said, I'm not going to move on Logos only. I need a Rhema for me to, oh, come on now. See, some of us have been stuck in the Logos. And the Logos for most of us is good enough. The Logos is the foundation. Remember, Jesus is Logos and Rhema. But when Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid, He said it to them. But then Peter says, if it is you, Lord, I need you to give me a Rhema word. I don't need you to speak it to anybody else. I need you to speak it to me. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, it really is me. Why don't you step out of the boat and come to me? I've come to tell somebody today, you better believe every verse from Genesis to Revelation. But if you're looking for a Rhema today, God can speak a Rhema over here. God can speak a Rhema up here. God can speak a Rhema over there. I love the Logos, but I love when God steps out and speaks not to them. He speaks to Him. He speaks to them, but then He speaks to Him. Oh, I've been in some church services. I'm going to tell you, Wednesday night is one of my favorite nights because all I got to do is welcome you, receive the offering, and then I get to sit down on the front row and listen to the best preacher on the face of the planet. And I'm not sitting over there saying, I hope Brother Leslie gets it. Oh, I hope Sister Charlotte gets that word. I'm saying, God, you're speaking to them. You're speaking the Logos. Look at them receiving the Logos. But when I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, I say, God, I thank you for what you're saying to them. But I need a Rhema word for him. I need a Rhema word just for me. I need you to come to life off of the pages of your written word. I know all of the things that are being said right now, but I need you to make it plain to me. I need you to speak something that gets me out of my seat. I need you to speak me something that gets me pumping my fist. Why? Because a Logos word is what you know and what you've heard before, but a Rhema word is when the word starts talking back and doesn't talk to them, it talks to him. Woo! You ever wonder why people can come to a church like this, hear the word of God, and sit there? Last night, first time guest at Catalyst, sitting on the front row. Listen, we have crazy church, wild church, aggressive church. I mean, they're jumping. They're like having a Holy Ghost mosh pit. They're bumping each other. They're pumping their fists. The guitars are going crazy. The haze is so thick, it looks like a Cheech and Chong movie. I can't even see the stage. And we got a cute little, beautiful little girl, first time guest. They're going crazy, Brother Marvin. He's sitting there like this. Why is it that we can come to a church like this and Brother Marvin can dance himself happy? Brother Milton spins. Sister Tammy gets that Holy Ghost dance going on. altars are filled and people leave the same way that they've always left, it's because they've gotten so used to the Logos. And they wouldn't know a rhema word if it fell on them like a ton of bricks. I encourage somebody today, and I'm only halfway through, but I'm encouraging somebody today to say, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to give me something, God, that I can take home, God. I've heard every sermon. I've heard the 3 points. I've been in church for 20 years, but I've never heard it like that. Speak to me, Jesus. Tell me. Tell me. And it flies in the face of what I've just preached. Praise team, come. Flies in the face of what I just preached. But check this out. Peter said, you've been talking to them. I need you to talk to him. But when you read the scripture, Jesus never makes it individual. Peter just takes it as my word. He said, walk, come to me on the water. See, there's a lot of times when we miss it because we think it's about Peter. I'm telling you right now, when Peter hitches up his tunic and he steps out, I'm shoving him back. I'm going to be the first one out the boat. When somebody walks up to receive their miracle, I'm going to shoulder right in next to them, because Jesus didn't make it Peter specific. The word that you read is not specific to Kenneth Copeland Oley. The word you hear is not specific to Bishop T.D. Jakes. The word you hear is not specific to Pastor Joseph Prince. The word of God is the word of God. If you're a disciple in the boat, everybody ought to get their feet, get their legs, and get out of the boat and step out. Stand on your feet. Step out, step out, step out, step out. I love the Logos, but I love the Rhema. I love the written word, but I love when God speaks and it causes faith to rise up in me. And by no way am I demeaning the Logos, but I've heard people make Logos like a college classroom. Glasses on the end of their nose, quoting it as if it's poetry. Telling us things that don't matter. But oh my God, when you get a preacher, that's why the Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? Not a teacher. And I love teaching. The men can tell you on Monday nights at Manpower, I teach for about 3 minutes. I'm really good. And then it goes into full camp meeting mode. I love the Logos. I love the education. I love the learning. But I love the Rhema. Come to me. Step out, Brandon. Step out on that which is unstable, because the stability is what you're looking at. Number 3, very quickly, is don't stay in the boat. Number 4 is stay focused. Stay focused on the word that called you out of the boat. Because when you start sinking, the same word that called you out of the boat, the same word that caused your foot to step and not sink the first time, is the same word that's going to cause you to float back up to the surface when you're in the middle of a hurricane. That's why when God gives you a rhema word, like Habakkuk said, you write it down. So that when you start sinking, I can go right back to that rhema word and say, God, if it was good enough to call me out 5 years ago, it's going to cause me to rise up and faith it and step out. Today, if I got enough faith to ask this woman to marry me, if I got enough faith to become a pastor, there is no way in heaven that I'm going to allow anything else to deter me from staying married, from staying where God has called me to be, from doing what God has called me to do. I want to open this altar right now. I've talked enough. I believe somebody has received a rhema word today. There's somebody in this building that said, Pastor Brandon, I came for a word today. I didn't come for just a cute little sermon. I didn't come to hear you sermonize. I didn't come to see how good your adjectives and adverbs and putting together all of the verbiage that you use. I came because I need a word from God. I'm fighting for family. I'm fighting for future. I'm fighting for marriage. I'm fighting for finance. I'm fighting for ministry. Jesus is telling you, come, come, come. I've never heard anybody else make this point. I'm going to make this point and then I'm going to pray. Jesus
calling Peter to walk on water was not for him to be the only man besides Christ to be able to say, I walked on water. That is a miracle, yes. But what did he say? He said, come to me. The boat, the water, the wind, and the waves, those are all supporting cast members. But the objective that Jesus was getting to Peter was, whatever you have to do, Peter, get to Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're on the water. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the fire. You get to Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through at home. Get to Jesus. Well, you don't know what kind of battles I'm fighting at work. Get to Jesus. You don't know what the doctor told me. Get to Jesus. Step out. Step out. So what if you sank for a few moments, Peter? You walked on water. You made it to Jesus. Jesus put his arm around you, and what had once scared you and brought fear to you now is helping you. It is serving you to get you to where you need to be. As this altar has filled up, I want to encourage those that have made this bold step of faith today. You've stepped out of your pew. Now get ready to step into faith. Get ready to